Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
Listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and today's show is brought to you by Whole Foods. We're here at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Today's guests, are you guys okay? Got your headphones on?
All right. It was really loud for a second.
Yeah. Oh. So my booming voice is killing these guys. But we have Shelley Rogers, the director of What's Organic About Organic.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming here today.
Thanks for inviting us.
Also, we have Anna Sophia Jones, director of Fresh.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being here. And on the line, we have Catherine Gunn, the director of What's on Your Plate.
Hi, Catherine.
Kathy. Hey, thanks so much for joining us from afar. What city are you in right now?
I'm in New York City.
Oh, okay. Well, hey.
I'm right here in New York City.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks so much. So you guys are all going to be tomorrow at Hungry Filmmakers at Anthology Film Archives. And I can't wait to see the discussions that we'll have afterwards with the panel presentation, with the filmmakers. Carrie Truman from Eating Liberally is going to be moderating it. And it should be a really good time. They have four other films other than Anna's and Catherine's.
And actually, program. Three other.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Five total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shelley is also the
co-host,
and we showed What's Organic About Organic at the last Hungry Filmmakers. We didn't really know it was going to be a huge, huge response. We hoped there'd be a good response to it, and we didn't think it would be an ongoing series, but so many people came to us and said, hey, let's do this again. There's so many other films. Have you heard of this and this and this? And we were like, why not? This would be really great.
Yeah. And Jimmy said, you know, in his 15 years of planning food events, that he'd never seen the response that he saw for Hungry Filmmakers. So
that's amazing.
Just made sense to keep doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, it speaks to, I don't know, is there a food documentary renaissance going on, or is it just me? Catherine, you got any ideas on that?
It seems like it. When we started making What's on Your Plate a few years ago, Omnivore's Dilemma had just come out, and there was Super Size Me. There was The Real Dirt on Farmer John, and a couple others were just starting to happen around then, and now it's incredible. I mean, they had a food movies trailer competition online last year that I'm sure you guys knew about, but I was just like, that's a lot of food movies.
It is, and there seems to be a little overlap, but for the most part.
Yeah, I have a question for you filmmakers. You know, how has it affected your process and distributing and garnering support for your films, knowing that there's a lot out there, but, you know, they all seem to have their own thread or their own, you know, voice of distinction. What has it been like for you guys?
I think having the movies work together and work one off another is really important. I think supporting each other, not only as filmmakers, but we've made these movies because the issues are important. We want to make change. And so working together can only help further that change. So for me, it's been really about recognizing what is distinct in each piece or the pieces that I know about and letting them work together and not you know, having generalists say they're all the same, you know, and making sure that you get, I think, fresh and what's on your plate played together in Hunts Point last month. And I thought that was a really nice combination. You know, they all do have a lot of differences. None of the others, as far as I know, are targeted to children, which is really what our niche has been.
Right.
Is to have it be specific to family, something that people can go to Food Inc. or something like that and come out and say, okay, but now how do I motivate my kids? Because I can't show them that terrifying film.
Right.
And then they can watch something sort of more optimistic and hopeful and kid-focused.
Yeah. Well, and the food movement is such a big thing, and there's so many different caveats and parts of it to explore and understand. So I think I'm
glad.
And
imagine if you were making a romantic comedy and somebody said, but there's already three romantic comedies
exactly.
here. You know, it's the themes are universal. You know, I think, I mean, I don't want to project, but I bet most of us feel that in some ways we're not talking about food. You know, we're talking about something even more essential, or maybe food is the most essential way to talk about all the other things we really care about. So, you know, yeah, there's other movies about food and that's great, because I think what it says is that people have the interest that people have in those movies, because there could be a lot of movies and no interest. I think that there's a reason why those two are coming together, is that people are really using food as an entry point to discuss what's happening in their lives, in their community, in mm-hmm. their conscience. And you know, I don't see any, I mean, I agree with what you said about, you know, I think on the contrary, we have to work together and because we're really have the same goal. But I think also just as a filmmaker, not as an activist, you know, my answer is just like, yeah, you know, the themes are universal. That's why, you know, we're making these movies.
That's mm-hmm. a really good point about talking about food as a launching point for exploring other things going on. It kind of reminds me of Anna LaPay's upcoming book about climate change mm-hmm. and how the food industrial agriculture is contributing to that. There was actually a film at our last Hungry Filmmakers by Sarah Grady that explored that subject, and mm-hmm. Anna LaPay was moderating that one.
Well, you know, it's mm-hmm. sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's this is how I started making Fresh, actually. It was looking at climate change and feeling so incredibly hopeless and helpless. And those feelings within me made me paralyze me. You know, like, what's the point in recycling or turning off the light when, you know, apparently a million new people are going to own car next year, or I don't know the numbers, but like, you know, when there's a new factory each day that's being built, you know, like that, you feel like your actions, your individual actions are so meaningless, so disconnected. And yet it's impossible that we are separate from the world. You know, we are clearly creating the reality that we live in. And yet it's incredibly hard to feel that way anymore. So I started Fresh actually looking at global warming and thinking, well, what can I do to make myself feel that, that I need to take action. And then slowly I realized that food was not only the microcosms of all the problems, which is probably what Anna LaPay discusses in our book, showing, you know, the reliance on oil and
health,
the water,
etc. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very much a microcosms of the solution. I think our movies are kind of, I think, exemplifying that. It's so incredibly diverse and vibrant and innovative and grassroots, etc. I mean, there's really so much going on there that I think, it's so intimate. Food is so intimate that you can really see how your action can have an impact.
Yeah, and I feel like there's so much room for education too, because, you know, I just, on my way over here today, I read an email about how the Sara Lee, the bread
cupcake
company, is marketing this new eco grain. And they're like, you know, apparently, you know, they're adding this value added product, eco grain, that is apparently, you know, the farmers who grow that grain are using only 15% less synthetic fertilizers.
What?
But really, they're only including 20% of that grain in each loaf that's marketed as this eco grain.
It's
confusing. Like, you know, the companies are getting it that people are interested in this and they
absolutely
want this food. They want to do something that's going to make a difference. And, you know, but then there's people out there to exploit that desire and to profit from it.
There could be a whole film just about it. Companies explain, you know, the Tyson got slapped with a legal charge because they were advertising their chicken as non-hype, what's it called? You know, when they're
no
given
hormones?
Hormones, yeah, as anti, you know. No, so, and then, yeah, and then growth hormones, and they were totally lying. So, but it went, you know, under
the radar.
The radar, yeah. For the most part.
Well, that's why I agree that these films are about things that are so much bigger, because one of the main things that comes out of our film for the kids is just them being empowered to ask questions and to read between the lines and to learn that they need to look at things. I mean, there's so much on the cutting room floor, but just in the process of making them, the girls would say, oh, we found out that on the cover of the cereal box, the frothy milk is actually dishwashing liquid, just sudsed up, because then it looks all sudsed. And they just realize that you can't look at, I mean, these new Monsanto ads are so outrageous.
Yeah,
this
Sarah Lee.
Sustainable agriculture.
Or like farm fresh. I think I saw that on a lettuce.
They're horrifying. So I think teaching people to be more educated consumers, not necessarily about food, but just in general in their lives.
And I think we are in a culture where we believe everything we see, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it is definitely about kind of, you know, what you're trying to teach your children and children in general. It's also adults. We have to learn to be more discerning. But I think that you know, every single person I interviewed in my documentary talked about the fact that it's about relationship, and I think that really touched a chord in me. That you know, yes, I'm going to continue shopping at the supermarket, and therefore I need to read labels and I need to start understanding and how to navigate all of this marketing. But really, the only way that we're going to have an accountable and transparent system is when we have less steps between us and the providers. And I think that, again, it's about relationship.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to know my coffee farmers. I might once in a while go to the farmer's market, or I might actually go and visit a farm and know one of my farmers. But there's certainly some products that I'm not going to know my farmers or the artisan that are making the food. But I can know and trust the people that certify it as being fair trade or direct trade. I can trust the store that makes that research and actually brings these products in. And I think if there is one level of relationship of trust, that goes a long way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I totally agree with you. But I think also that we need to make sure that eco labels are transparent, and what does that mean, and who's verifying, and how can we support those
and
farmers?
What's organic about organic sometimes?
Right.
Seriously, it's
right
misleading sometimes.
Yeah, although I mean, you know, again with certifications. So, you know, that's what happened with the federal organic certification. I think the meaning was very well meant, right? To try to have standards for organic, but it's, you know, also and I think it's been positive overall, but many people feel that it's also watered down the meaning of organic, and it's put a lot of farmers in a difficult situation. So I think that it's important to have standards, both federal and maybe some third party certification that are not a government certified, but are still, you know, third party certification. But I think that there's always the more, basically, the same point. Like the more distant it is from us, the more likely it loses its impact.
Right. I you know, Anna, that was really interesting that you mentioned you got into making fresh because you're concerned about, you know, global climate change, which is I didn't know that beforehand. Catherine, what made you decide to make What's on Your Plate? Was it the children? Let's remember the children kind of angle, or?
Well, it was being a mom. I have four kids, and the oldest one, who has a genetic high cholesterol problem, had just become a vegetarian, like many kids in her class and her teacher, which was interesting, at the public school on the Lower East Side. And then she and her friends were about to start middle school, which meant they'd be walking by themselves and buying their own snacks. And I just realized that she, you know, like anything I did in parenting, that she really needed to know why she needed to make certain decisions instead of just because I was telling her. So I realized that the best way was to get her to ask the questions so that she'd actually see the information, which in the end is why we made the film, so that families could watch it together, parents and kids, because parents can tell the kids all they want to tell them. But until kids have their own true sense of why they're making a choice, it's not going to mean anything, and they're not going to go to it when they have to make that decision.
Right, start your food education early.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, just give them, you know, given that questioning tool, again, coming back to the sense that it's about a much bigger issue, is just, you know, people often, the first question or comment after screenings, people say, you know, this movie's about food, but it's really about family. You know, because there's just this sense of we want to cook together, we want to eat together. What does it mean? And which is why I think, Anna, you were saying that, you know, it comes down to what is so fundamental about food. Mm-hmm. And the fact is it's something we all share. We all have to do it. You know, if I don't want to watch TV, I don't have to watch TV. If I don't want to drive a car, I don't have to drive a car, use a computer. But I have to eat. So, you know, we all have that in common. And we all make those choices all the time, even if some of them aren't as educated or aren't as thoughtful. The more mindful we are about those things, the better off the whole world's going to be, you know, the planet, the community, the family.
And, you know, family time usually involves having a meal together. And
yeah,
a lot of people have been lamenting that that's been decreasing in this day and age of workaholism and right. so forth. So,
well, and just the conveniences, Anna LaPay says in the movie, you know, it's because the girls say, why do people keep making things that are bad for us? We don't get it. And she says, I don't think they're sitting there saying, let's make something bad. But what they are doing is exploiting the sense of convenience and speed. And so they make something microwavable, and they say, look, quick, it's all done. It's all done. And, you know, I think that Michael Pollan's done a nice job of not making it sound like, oh, we want to go back to, you know, pioneer days, where, you know, hunter-gatherer days, where our entire time is spent finding our food and preparing our food and eating our food. You know, but we do want to have a sense of family and a sense of time and a sense of quality of life for ourselves and for the planet, because it's what has gotten us into the problem in the first place. More cars, faster, faster, bigger, yeah. stronger. You know, and it's just taking a step back.
John Eichert in the movie talks about like how, and I don't even know if that line is in the movie anymore, but in the longer unedited answer that to my question, he was talking about how, you know, we human beings, we find something that works and then we just apply it to everything and we go too far with it. You know, it's like yeah. convenience is great, you know, like I'm right. a big proponent. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think we've gone to a point, I think that's what you're saying, that we've gone to a point where we actually, we're no longer benefiting from the convenience. Actually, it's taking away from something really essential in life. It's like we think we need convenience so much that we forget yeah. that we enjoy socializing together in a meaningful mm-hmm. way. We enjoy actually having connection with our food and stories behind our food. We enjoy spending time together that's not rushed or mm-hmm. you know, kind of in our individual computer rooms, mm-hmm. TV mm-hmm. set, you know, that actually there is something really important in communing mm-hmm. together. So
absolutely, I think that's it's community. It's
exactly.
building community. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to take a quick musical break. Shall I think you picked the song?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Be right back.
Bonnie Raitt.
Nice.
Let me be your blender, baby. Don't you know I can whip, chop, and puree?
Just let's eat in. And that was a great musical interlude chosen by Shelley Rogers, one of our three guests today. She's the director of What's Organic About Organic. We also have Anna Sophia Jones, director of Fresh, and Catherine Gund on the line from the director of What's on Your Plate. Today's show is brought to you by Whole Foods again, and you can actually call in and talk to these guys if you'd like. The number is 718-497-2128.
You might want to print that.
718-497-2128.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Whew, it's been a long week. Actually,
yeah, why don't you tell us about your book?
Oh, thanks so much. You know, speaking of eating in and finding time to slow down, you know, look at your food before eating it. Maybe cook it, too. Today kicks off the week of eating in, which is a project that the Huffington Post editors and myself decided to launch. We're trying to encourage people to see if they can eat in for a week and cook everything and see what will happen. Also, what discoveries you'll make. Will you save a lot more waste? Will you just become more aware of your food choices and so forth?
Will you eat a lot of cereals?
Will you save money?
Will you save money? Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, that's in conjunction with the launch of my book called The Art of Eating In. And that just came out in stores on Thursday. So, today I'm eating in straight. I have my lunch right here in this tote bag, an insulated tote bag. It's really handy. And we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a really busy week. But I wanted to talk about, with Oscars coming up, and you know, you guys all have such great films. How excited are, you know, what did you think of seeing Food Inc. up there for Best Documentary?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'll help all of our films, you know, ultimately somewhere down the road that they're increasing awareness of the issues. And, you know, they have the marketing power behind them to reach a really wide audience, which is really good. I mean, on some level, I think it's great also because it leaves room for films like ours to lift people up after mm-hmm. that one kind of really, you know, is you know, pretty disturbing.
Right.
to put it mildly.
Totally.
But I feel the more people are talking about the issues, the more aware they are of them, that a documentary that's about this kind of subject could be in the academies is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a Monsanto-produced film. It's not, you know, it's... So in that sense, I'm really excited. I just think that the movement has come a long way. I think what Michelle Obama's done has been really valuable. And I agree that people it makes them hungry for the issue, and they're going to look into more resources, more tools, and they're going to find a lot of other films and things like that.
I hope so. I hope that they'll, you know, come and discover books, films, and on this subject, because, you know, one source can't be the end all be all.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people who have seen Food Inc., they've, you know, said things like it changed their life. So if that's what happened to you guys, then dig into it some further.
And check out our website, the Hungry Filmmakers website, because we have links to all of our featured films. And that might be a good stopping point to get going on more exploring other films.
Yeah, you know, and it's also about community getting together and seeing these filmmakers. And I'm so thrilled that you guys can come to this event and talk more about these subjects there.
So. Yeah, I think it's really cool that we're going to be able to, you know, I think a lot of film events are, you know, they show the films and that's great. And that's like the beauty of a film is that you can show it without the director being there. But it's really great that we're going to get all of the directors or at least representatives from each of the film together to really talk about what their process was like and what they've learned and how.
And just seeing you guys talk too, I mean, you and Anna have been going nonstop talking about regulation and who knows what else is going on before we were on air. And clearly there's a lot of issues and not just, you know, talking about the food, but also filmmaking, the process, the creative process that
The challenges,
of course. So
yeah, I think that's the difference because, you know, we you're talking about community and Fresh has been out and out since May last year. And we've been out in a completely grassroots way. Basically, we've made the movie available to both individuals and organizations to show within a community. And we've provided a lot of support to people purchasing a license, trying to help them organize a panel discussion with local farmers and experts and activists in their community. Because really the idea is to connect people with not only like-minded folks, because it's hard to change on your own, but also with information on what's going on in your community. Mm-hmm. And even now that we're gonna come out theatrically this spring.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we've had such an amazing response in our grassroots outreach that we've decided to take it theatrical, mostly so that we could keep reaching a larger and larger audience. But we're keeping completely our grassroots model. So like even in our theatrical opening or release, we'll have a lot of grassroots events. And we've been calling them Fresh Weeks or Fresh Events. And the mm-hmm. idea is really to highlight or celebrate what's happening locally and make sure that the local food community is involved and takes advantage of the movie and whatever press we're able to gather to bring attention to what they're doing. And I think this is why we all feel that what's happening with Food Inc. is positive, because I think we're activists. We did these movies because we care about the issues, and we're just hoping, at least I'm speaking for myself now, we're definitely hoping that the movie can be a platform for change, not just a success for its own sake, but, you know, very much and clearly you guys feel the same way, since you're doing, you know, Hungry Filmmaker, and you're sharing what other people are doing, and I think that's the
Well, I'd love to be involved. That's the side.
And Catherine, will you tell us about your broadcast, your television broadcast, and what you guys are doing with What's on Your Plate?
Yeah, last week, Discovery, or I guess it was 2 weeks now, Discovery played, I think they played it, Discovery's Planet Green played it about every 8 hours.
Wow,
for a week.
That's great.
So it was at 3 a.m. and then 1 p.m. and then a couple times it hit right on a really great time, including Sunday at 2. So we made a family cooking action kit, toolkit, and then encourage people
kit?
To
That's
yeah, a... it's online. You can go. Our website is whatsonyourplateproject.org, because whatsonyourplate.com is owned by McDonald's.
Wow.
No kidding. But whatsonyourplateproject.org, and we have a screenings map. We have a great blog that a lot of folks who are in the office work on. We have some resources. We have a couple of games. We have your voice section that is a place for people to give feedback. But within that, what was I going to say? Oh, so the cook-in toolkit is on there, the family cook-in toolkit, and we've now made a more generalized version, which we'll post soon, that isn't linked to the Discovery broadcast, but just says watch the film, make dinner with the kids, and, you know, do these few activities that we've included here, and then eat dinner together and sit down and have family time like we were talking about earlier. And then there's some other actions that go from the political, you know, policy issues to things like grow something that you eat, whether it's basil or tomatoes or something.
That's so fun.
And it's right on there. And, that's been really good. We're doing educational and screenings and sales now, and community-based screenings and sales. And then in September it'll be available for home video for families, and we're hoping to have two accompanying books with it.
Wow. What's more Eden friendly than a home video?
I know.
What? I mean,
but
popcorn
I love that
and
idea,
movie theaters,
you know,
forget it.
With what?
Oh, you know, just the, oh gosh, popcorn and movie theaters is like
right.
One of the strangest processed foods.
It is. But I like the idea of, you know, this Eden for the week and actually talking about what you brought in your tote bag or whatever for lunch, because what I'm finding is that people want really practical answers. They say, you know, my kids are athletes. They have a game at 10 and a game at 2. What do I feed them that morning, and what do I give them in the middle? They don't want to hear about goji berries and this and that.
Oh,
they
want to
hear, like, what?
Right.
If I'm not going to give them an energy bar and a Gatorade, what should I feed them? And when I say, you know, we do raisins and nuts, we do apples and peanut butter, we do cheese, or, you know, like different examples of things that are real, that are practical, like how do you pack the lunch? And we get these little canteens and we just take leftovers from the night before and put them in so that they don't have a sandwich every day, they don't have a bag of chips, you know, they have their little steel bottles so that they can bring their own water instead of having a juice or a soda or something like that.
Absolutely.
And if you actually make things really practical and real, I think that people will do it, because it is about habit and what we've just been doing and what the media is bombarding us with, which is that you're supposed to buy a juice box and buy a pack of chips and have the kids snack.
We have to unlearn a lot of habits that are practical. They're convenient.
Convenient.
So. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's what the Week of Eating In is actually all about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just educating and coming up with simple recipes. And that's what we're doing. I just did 2 posts about essential things to have in your cookware collection, or, you know, just keeping a minimal list. And we'll be blogging about that throughout the week. We actually have some guest bloggers, too, joining us, like Brian Terry, who's on the cover of the poster for Hungry Filmmakers. And
it's a still
in
shot.
Your
That's
film,
from What's
Catherine.
On Your Plate. He actually cooks with the kids at the end of the movie.
Yeah, he's a great cook. Anna LaPay is going to be guest blogging. Mm-hmm. We have some other folks, and...
Tell us again
people.
The name of the URL for your blog.
My blog, you could check it out at theartofeatingin.com. Also on Huffington Post Green Page, go to the Week of Eating In. There's been like 1,500 or so more people, just regular people, have pledged to take this week. And I can't wait to see what happens and what they do.
Can you get in today, even if you haven't started yet?
Absolutely. Okay, good. Today's the first day.
I didn't bring my lunch.
So do you guys cook a lot? It sounds like you probably do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much every meal. Yeah. That's amazing, because I know you're crazy busy running around and probably
I work from my apartment, and so I have folks who come over and work with me, and you know, it's much cheaper. You know, I operate on a really tiny budget, and so it's a lot better if I can feed my crew
that
I've cooked rather than us all go
really
out and
nice.
Spend $10 each for lunch.
You know, what happened to the work family meal too?
Yeah, and I think it's really important for our crew, you know, to just like
relax.
Have a moment to not be necessarily talking about, okay, what's next? What are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But just sit and have a meal together.
And that's so much more beneficial, you know, for your diet too. And I'm sure you guys, I know you live in the East Village, which is temptation all around for takeout. So, you know, it's harder for some. Anna, what's your favorite thing to cook?
I have a 6 month old daughter, and she's not eating yet. I mean, a little bit. I cook a little, steam vegetables. Now she's starting. I guess, you know, very similar. I've worked a lot from home, and I think it, to me at least, it helps cook more, because there's I don't have to worry, for instance, about bringing my lunch. You know, I just I try to make really, really simple stuff. And you know, for me also, cooking can simply mean like I cut a fruit in the morning and add some yogurt. You know, like that. I just try to choose my food carefully. It can mean, you know, just having good bread at lunch and just a few sides that, you know, some of them might be the leftover from last night. And then, you know, my partner is Israeli, so he loves tahini. Mm-hmm. And tahini is really nutritious and full of protein. And so I have a lot of that, you know. But, he makes huge soup, you know. Like we have a lot of people over. We love to have people come over. But we don't have the time to make complicated meals. So we often make, you know, kind of a big plate of rice with everything we can think of inside. And so simple, I would say, like tasty, but very simple
it
dishes.
Sounds tasty. It does. So we just have one more minute left. Catherine, did you have anything to add to that?
I would just say with kids that, you know, letting them have a choice in what they eat and what they make. And so one of the things that we like to do is tacos, because then you can just put all the stuff on the table and everybody makes their own thing. Or
less work for you, too.
Yeah, because then, and you don't have to decide, and then you don't have to sit there and nag them to eat it, because they put on what they like. So you put out lettuce and tomatoes and corn and cheese and, you know, whatever kind of vegetarian or meat-based something that you want to stick in the middle. And then they can just kind of talk and make their thing. And it works with salads, too. I think just letting them have more role in, and it goes for adults, too. The more that we cook, the more we're going to enjoy those meals than if we just order and take a few bites and send it back. And,
yeah, I'm
you know, we're
totally
not
into the
in
make-it-yourself food dinner parties. Anna, did you have one more thing you want to say?
Yeah, actually, we're looking for volunteers.
Okay.
Since we're coming out theatrically and we're making an incredible grassroots effort to go with the theatrical release, we're looking for people to help us out. So check out our site, freshthemovie.com. We have a page with job and internship/volunteer opportunities. Contact me, Anna, A-N-A, at freshthemovie.com. Or just, you know, check us out when we're...
Great. I can't wait. Count me in, too. So that's on a site. We also have What's Organic About It, organic.
Yeah.
Dot?
No, it's actually whatsorganicmovie.org.
Gotcha.
And we're going to be releasing in April as well, and doing some, you know, DVDs and grassroots screenings. And, we're in our infancy, so on his way.
Okay.
Like in a one-year-old.
Exactly. I can say mama.
Yeah. And once again, whatsonyourplate.org.
What's on your plate project?
Darn it.
Yep.
Okay. You guys are better. But, you know, I hate to cut this off. You guys are so amazing.
No, don't we have an hour?
But we do. No, sorry. We're going over. But tomorrow, hungryfilmmakers.blogspot.com. Come by the Film Anthology Film Archives tomorrow at 7.
Doors open at 6:30.
Right.
But this starts at 7. So get there a little early.
We can have more discussion.
And we have tickets available for sale. So come on by and we hopefully won't turn you away like last time.
Yeah, when we sold out in advance. So thanks again. Once again, thanks to Heritage Radio Network, Jack Inslee, and the producing Booth and Whole Foods, our sponsor, will be next week. And I'm your host, Kathy Ory. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.